Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky and I'm here with Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins.
Hi Dave, hi Jess.
Hi Matt, hi Dave.
Hello Jess, hi Matt.
Oh.
Oh.
Did you have to think? I had to think.
No,
You are in the equation.
Yeah, I was like, hi, nope.
Who are the other two?
You're the Jess character. I mean, person.
Human person.
Human
definitely
person.
Who definitely exists.
Not a robot.
Yeah, they're all characters. They are all two-dimensional, flat characters. Poke a hole in them. Try. Yep, you just did. Okay.
That was quick.
Wow.
Well done.
Yeah, good job.
We're recording on a Saturday afternoon. The weather is nice. The beers are out for Matt and I. Jess, on the waters.
I'm hitting the hard stuff.
Nice. You are
Jess, it's October for today.
Just today.
Just today. She's doing October the 3rd, or whatever today is.
It's not the 3rd.
Damn it. I'd know that if I was drinking waters.
He's drunk again.
He is, as he always is. But it's great to be here. Matt, you feeling good?
I've lost 4 days. I just looked at it. It's the 7th. Anyway, it's not actually, because when people listen to this, it's in the future.
It's not the 3rd.
It's still not the 3rd.
It's even less the 3rd.
Unless they listen to it in just under a year from now.
That'd be perfect.
Actually possible.
Oh,
imagine
possible.
Someone's doing that right now and their mind is exploding all over the train.
Wow.
Where they are. And they're on the train as well, so it exploded again.
And they're driving the train. And they don't even know how.
They've never driven a train before. They've just woken up from a weird dream.
Do you drive a train?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, train driver.
Oh yeah. Toot toot.
You don't drive a boat, do you? To wear the question.
No, you swim a boat.
Do you drive a plane?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you definitely drive a plane.
You drive a plane out to the runway and then you take off.
Yeah.
Come on.
And then you drive it through the sky.
Sky driving.
Yeah. Sky driving.
I'm going to go for a sky drive. Oh, I like that.
Hey, Dave, I met this guy for the second time last night, so it's not really meeting him, but his name was Lucas, right? And he's a listener, and he was up in Albury where I was doing a gig, and he was saying that he wanted a way to easily explain what the show is, right?
There's
and,
no such thing.
And he said that he messaged you at some point, and he asked you, and you said, I don't know how to do it, right? But he had a good one, and I wish I'd written it down, because I can't remember. But anyway, I just want you to know that somewhere out there, someone knows how to...
You're not even going to give it a crack.
What?
It was something like three comedians... One of them does a report on a certain topic. The other two are smartasses. Something like
that's about right.
Yeah.
That's about right.
That is about right.
Yeah.
But it's not exactly right, because I'm a smartass and I'm going to bring you to
that. So that is what the show is, right? But we always start the show, we get into the topic by
one
the person
the
giving
asses.
The report.
Yeah, the head smartass for the week.
They ask a question to get us on a topic. Dave, this week is your report. Please ask us a question.
You are the head smartass.
My first question is, okay, to get us on to this week's topic, which was voted for by the people that support us through Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
My question to get you on topic, because it's one of those things where you've either heard of it or you haven't, so I've just got a question that vaguely gets us there.
I'm feeling real cocky today, yeah, Matt.
I know about nearly everything.
I think you're going down.
Oh, okay. I forgot we weren't working as a team.
Never.
Like, yeah, let's do... Oh, I see.
When have we ever been a team? No, sometimes.
Back in the early days. We
anyway,
grew apart.
We did. We'll get back together.
This is a fun thing because there's only 50 possible answers, so you can really have a crack.
Great.
In what U.S. state...
I was going to say, it's a U.S. state.
...was the first English colony
Ooh.
Attempted to
New
set
England.
Up? It's not New England. That
makes
sense.
That would make sense. All right.
Anyway, it's on the state. East. It's on the East Coast there.
So New York? No, that was the Dutch.
We've talked about it though.
Yeah,
on
we
this
talked
show
about
before.
It in the Santa. We talked about New York settled in the Santa Claus episode. I'm gonna say Pennsylvania.
It is not. JP, our geography queen.
Fuck!
Here we go.
No, I didn't want you to ask me because I don't know. You said East Coast, and I was like, well, I'm out. I've got no fucking idea.
Indiana. Where Gary is my new home.
We got, I reckon, close to 50 people tweeting in saying, do you know that Gary's a real place? Thank you, but we do now. We did not know.
I've been walking on sunshine ever since.
We've got
Gary,
go.
There's no doubt of my mind. I'm going to Gary. They've got I've just looked it up today. They've got they used to have a basketball team called the Steelheads.
That's good.
What a place. Oh. Gary. Michael Jackson's from there. Gary, Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
There's a song that Ron Howard sang in a musical. Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, Gary, 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 Indiana.
Okay,
is that a bit true?
Yes.
What the hell?
It's now on my bucket list to take a photo of you next to the sign that says, Welcome to Gary, Indiana.
I was reading the Wikipedia page and at some point they go, you can head to downtown Gary. They're like, downtown Gary? That's a real place.
So good.
Downtown Gary.
That is so good. I'm just going to tell you where it is so we can get straight into this episode.
Please.
It is
in North Carolina. My guest, Dave.
Where Michael Jordan played college basketball.
Well, that's one fact.
North Carolina, okay.
Okay, have you ever heard of, and this is one
I've
of our...
I've heard of North Carolina, yes.
Great. Have you heard of this? The topic which takes place there? This is one of our most suggested topics, I didn't realise. But it is the lost colony of Roanoke.
This has been suggested so many times.
Wow, yeah.
Dave, is this a mystery episode?
It's a mystery! It's a mystery. I put three mystery topics in the Patreon hat.
Yes.
If you're not familiar, if you support us through Patreon, you can vote every 3 weeks on the topic that I present on. And there were three mysteries. And this, being one of the most popular topics, obviously, it won by a country mile. It was 60% of the vote or something. The other ones were cool and we'll probably get to.
Oh, man. I'm so in the mood for a mystery. Yes.
That's great.
Mystery mood.
It's been suggested
mystery
by...
Mystery mood. How's she feel? We don't know. It's a mystery mood.
No, you just said you're in a really excited mood. It's not a mystery at all. I'm in a really good mood. It's a mystery mood.
Yeah, but now I feel sad.
Oh, sorry.
It's a roller coaster.
Well, it's been suggested by lots of people. So thank you. If this is you and if we've missed you, I apologize, but there's so many. Jake Spector, John Titus, Kat Kurt McCauley, Jonah Christian.
These are great names.
Stephen Sankey.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Paul S.
Ooh,
mystery.
It's a mystery name. Mystery Paul.
Hillary Smith, Dan Brown, the Da
Bullshit,
Vinci Code.
Yeah.
Loves a mystery.
He's
that
a
guy.
Mystery writer.
Did I tell you that I once won tickets to like a Fox FM, which is a big radio station here in Melbourne, a rooftop party. I was in the habit of just entering as many competitions as I could to win stuff. And I went along and they had like a pop star performer, I can't even remember. And I was talking to this guy, because most people there were either competition winners or VIPs. So it was a strange mix and I was obviously a competition winner. And this guy started telling me how he was an author. And I was like, oh, okay, anything I've heard of? And he's like, have you heard of the Da Vinci Code? I was like, are you Dan Brown? And he's like, yeah, I am. And I looked him up and it was definitely not him. He was lying. He was lying. Dan Brown, an American guy, and this guy, an Aussie dude for sure. So thanks for lying to me, mate.
That is amazing.
That was
it's
weird.
A great lie.
Weirdest night.
I think it was that Dan Brown that suggested it.
Yeah.
Maybe his name is Dan Brown.
Oh, maybe that's where he got it from. Maybe. Also, Richard Schubert III. Thank you, Richard.
He's also in the Golden Hat, Richard.
Yeah, great. Well, there you go. Richard, this is one of your golden... No, it's not. John Shearer and Dylan Byrne from Adelaide.
Man, there's a lot of...
Why is only... They're all from Adelaide or no, just Dylan?
I just know Dylan Byrne's a frequent tweeter and a good supporter of the
there's
show.
There's a lot of great frequent tweeters in there.
Yeah, awesome. Good suggestion, so
this,
guys.
It's
thank
an all-star
you.
Topic here. It's the lost colony of Roanoke. So, do you guys know anything about it?
I know. It involves a lost colony in North Carolina.
Oh, you have heard of it.
And that is on the east coast of the United States of America.
And it involves, obviously, Michael Jordan's college basketball career. And he still wears his Lost Colony of Roanoke shorts underneath his Chicago Bulls uniform in the 1990s.
He still wears it to this day.
Still to this day. He just keeps collecting layers of clothes.
He only ever wore his Chicago Bulls uniform. I'm 50 years old.
And the colony is actually named after a guy called Rowan Oaks.
That's true.
That is also true.
That's
not true.
Well, it's part of the mystery.
Just in case.
No one knows that for
sure.
All right, we're going to get into this mystery. Just a bit of background, because I feel like a lot of, well, maybe not all, but a lot of American listeners will probably know more about settlers coming to their continent more than we do. So if you are in that boat, I'm
interesting just that you would assume that they'd know more than I do about my.
That is interesting.
My preferred.
Bit disappointing,
topic.
Really.
I'm very educated.
I was talking about the other listeners.
Oh.
Not you, Jess and Matt. You guys know everything.
Yeah.
I never patronize you. If you ever feel like I'm talking to you like you're dumb, I probably am.
And I probably deserve it.
I think he's talking to someone else, Jess.
making direct eye contact with us. But that's only because he can't look the listener in the eye.
Yeah.
Those dumb, dumb listeners.
Yeah.
Big old dummies.
Big dummies.
Ugh.
Well, like we always say, we got the best lovely idiots listening who we love.
You listening right now. You're a dummy.
Yeah. All right, Dumbo, let's start the show. All right. Hope your headphones are in your ear holes, not your nose.
Again.
You've made that mistake before.
It smells like another great podcast.
All right, mate.
Jess's laugh smells so good.
Ooh.
All right, here we go. Born in Italy, the explorer Christopher Columbus made 4 trips across the Atlantic Ocean from Spain, but he was backed by the Spanish, in the late 15th century. He was determined to find a direct water route west from Europe to Asia, but he never did.
Asia.
I felt that
sentence. Yeah, you said it
Asia.
Wrong. Asia.
He never made it to Asia. Instead, he accidentally stumbled upon the
fashion.
Americas.
Oh.
And fashion. American fashion. Although he did not really, quote unquote, discover the New World, millions of people already live there, his journeys marked the beginning of centuries of transatlantic conquest and colonization. About 100 years later, in the late 16th century, where our story takes place, England, France, Spain, and the Netherlands launched major colonization programs in eastern North America. So either up top in Canada or right down to Florida. They all wanted a piece of the action and they wanted to set up settlements there. So that's sort of the where we're at in historically speaking.
Hmm.
We come to an English man born in 1552. Sir Walter Raleigh was an adventurer.
What's his last name?
Raleigh. Possibly
R-A-H-I-L-L-Y.
No, it's R-A-L-E-I-G-H. And I've heard it pronounced Raleigh and Raleigh.
Raleigh.
He was an adventurer.
Oh.
Explorer. Soldier, writer, lover.
Oh my God, he was everything.
He was
and nothing.
He was a landed gentleman.
A landed.
Landed, which is a social.
He wasn't waterborne.
Social class in England where people make their income from renting out property and land that they own.
Landed.
Oh. So he's a landlord.
Yeah, landlord. But I prefer to call my landlord the landed gentleman.
My dear landlord landed gentleman, is a woman.
A landed gentle woman.
Mm.
Yeah, good. I don't know why I struggle with that.
Gentle.
What do I call the other sex? So, he's a pretty famous English dude. In 1578, Raleigh set out with his half-brother, Sir Humphrey Gilbert.
Fuck yes.
On a voyage to North America to find the Northwest Passage. They never made it there and got distracted with a bit of a bust-up with Spanish shipping. So this happens frequently in this story. England versus Spain a lot of the time. Because Spain's already got land in Mexico and Florida in North America, so they're doing pretty well. And England sort of wants to catch up to them. Raleigh's brash actions against the Spanish were not well received by the monarch's advisors, and he was briefly imprisoned.
He's a bad boy.
And not for the last time.
Oh.
He goes to prison three times.
Oh.
At least three times.
Sizzle.
Nevertheless, the tall, handsome, yes, and superbly confident Raleigh, who was also extremely well-dressed, rose rapidly at Elizabeth I, who's the queen at the time, her court, and quickly became a favourite of the queen. He served in her army in Ireland and was knighted and became captain of the Queen's Guard, the soldiers in charge of guarding the official royal residences in the United Kingdom.
Mm.
So, yes, you see beef eater type people these days. They're part of the
Queen's Guard. Dave has a bit of a crush.
Well, maybe because a famous legend is that he once threw his cloak over a muddy puddle to keep the Queen from getting her feet wet.
Mm. Oh, that is something you would find very admirable.
Oh, yeah. I do it all the time. I stand near a puddle with a jacket waiting.
Come on, Queenie.
Where's the fucking
Queen? My time to shine. Where's the fucking Queen?
I imagined you waiting by the puddle for someone to do it for you. You're like, hello.
How will I cross?
Someone.
People walk past and I'm like, mate, that's a nice jacket there.
Isn't it a bit warm for that jacket?
Yeah.
Give me a jacket.
They're like, warm and a puddle? I don't think so. The Queen rewarded the handsome man handsomely.
Oh,
yes, I wrote that. With a large estate in Ireland, lots of land, which he rented out and made money from, trade privileges, and eventually a knighthood.
Ooh, Sir Raleigh.
Yes. Ooh. But her biggest gift to him was on March 25th, 1584, Queen Elizabeth I granted Sir Walter Raleigh a charter for the colonisation of the area of North America. This charter specified that Raleigh needed to establish a colony in North America or lose his right to colonisation. He was granted rights to explore, colonise and rule any, quote, remote, heathen and barbarous lands, countries and territories not actually possessed by a Christian prince or inhabited by Christian people.
Oh, wow.
So basically the deal was, if you go to America and there's no Christians there, it's yours.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that was her decree.
Wow, that's fucked. Like if there's no one there that already owns it, and I mean I don't mean like, you know,
Christians.
Yeah, if there's a prince nearby
who's obviously a Christian prince,
then absolutely, that's theirs. But if there's no Christians, yours.
That's just classic Christianity, isn't it? Love thy neighbor unless they're not a Christian.
Sucks.
Yep. The charter also specified that he had 7 years to establish a settlement or he would lose his right to do so. What were you laughing at there, Jeff?
Just 7 years is a long time.
But I suppose it takes about 4 months just to get there.
No, I know, but 7 years is a long time.
It is.
Regardless. If you gave me 7 years to do something, I'm not starting that for 6.5 years.
Jess is like, I've got 6 months to colonize North America. Get in the ship.
Get in the ship.
But it's a funny thing because it's like, I'm going to let you be able to colonize North America. Unless you don't do it in 7 years, then you're not allowed to do the thing that I'm allowing you to do.
Mm. Yeah,
it's like a weird loop, right?
Yeah, it's
weird. I think it was more like, do it in 7 years, but if you don't have the chutzpah to get it done, I'll get someone else in.
I'll get someone with chutzpah.
Yeah. In 7 years' time.
Unless that person with chutzpah is not a Christian. so that's what he wants to do. And obviously, if you go over there and you can claim anything you like, you're going to get real rich. So he's pretty keen to get involved in this.
Sure.
Although he didn't go himself, Raleigh funded and organized a reconnaissance trip to North America on April 27, 1584, which is like a month later. So he's done pretty well.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, just 6 years, 6 months later.
Bloody keen as, isn't he?
Jeez Louise,
settle down, mate. Oh, we're all very impressed.
Nerd.
Put your fucking jacket back on.
He's the guy. Pen's down. I'm done. All right, mate.
Fuck
we
off.
Get it.
Yeah, good for
There's
you.
There's still another half an hour. We're all still working.
You've missed a page of the exam, you fucking idiot.
Well done, though. No, you put your pen down real quick. Fuck off, car guy.
Fuck off, car guy.
Car guy.
Fuck,
yeah,
car guys.
Yeah, go drive away. He's old, too. He's too old to be in this exam.
So, April, the expedition is led by Philip Amadeus, and Arthur Barlow. And they set off with two ships, which is obviously a pretty small fleet.
Spare ship.
Ship each.
Yeah, ship each. That's great. Oh, small fleet. We've both got a ship. Would you prefer to have like a rope out the back tugging along some more spare ships?
When we fly to Sydney, we're taking three planes.
Three planes at least. Yeah. No, that's true, of course.
Well, basically, they just want to
go there.
Breathing
the same enclosed air as you guys.
Ooh,
yuck.
No, thank you.
So they wanted to go to the eastern coast of North America. 3.5 months later, they arrived at Roanoke Island.
Named after Roanoke.
Roanoke,
that's right. Off the coast of...
When does he come into the story?
Look, Matt, I don't interrupt your reports, do I? Except every 2 seconds. Roanoke Island, which is off the coast of North Carolina.
Which is on the east coast of the country.
Where right. Michael Jordan played college.
Yeah.
Bus.
Great, just for context. The island is about 8 miles or 12 kilometres long and 2 miles or 3K wide. So it's not huge.
It's a small island.
It's just a few miles, a few kilometres off the coast. And it's right near Kitty Hawk, the sand dune filled place where the Wright brothers perfected their Wright flyer. About 300 years later.
Do you think they're connected?
Yeah. It's all related.
The group, who were on the recon, wrote glowing reports of the area, of the island. They encountered Native Americans.
Non-Christians.
Yes. The Roanoke people, that's why it's actually called Roanoke, it's named after the people from the area. And they'd lived on Roanoke
all
Island.
Known as Roanoke. Their parents didn't have a great imagination.
All of their names are Rowan.
Or Oak. They'd lived on Roanoke Island and the surrounding areas. There's a bunch of islands and sort of bay and stuff around there for thousands of years. So they've been there a long time. The Native Americans were friendly to the English, and the two parties were fascinated with each other.
Aww.
The English had arrived at a time of plenty, a season where the Native Americans had lots of food to share with the English, who had trouble creating their own crops.
Aww.
So they were happy to share.
Well, that's nice. I can't see anything going wrong.
Well, how about this next sentence?
Nope.
When the reconnaissance party returned to England, they took two of the Native American leaders, a man named Juan Cheese and a man named Manteo. I does not know how the men were convinced to go to England or if they were just made to go.
But probably invited and graciously accepted. Thank you. We would love to come to England.
You've given us all this food. Let's come. Let's bring you back.
Do you want to see what we've got?
We'll bring you some food at Airport.
We want to repay the favour.
Floaters or whatever we do in England. It's Adelaide. What do they do in England?
They do the bangers and
cheesy
mash.
Cheesy chips. Bangers and mash. Pints of lager.
Bovril.
Bovril. And, of course...
Iron Brew.
Iron Brew, thank you.
Great.
Juan Cheese and Manteo. So these people, there's two boats that go on there, scattered it out.
I want to make a joke about Juan Cheese, but it feels insensitive.
Probably best you don't.
There's something bad about that.
I'm
curious to hear what this joke is.
Like he's
Jess
just,
has got a joke.
He just wants cheese.
He wants cheese. Well, how's that insensitive? At, we all know, want
no,
cheese.
No, it's insensitive because he's lactose intolerant.
Now I'm looking.
That is insensitive.
Now I'm looking at the... It's C-H-E-S-E, Juan Cheese. How would you say it? What? Let's go with Juan Cheese. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing it. Juan Cheese and Manteo went back with the men, and they caused a sensation when they came to England because these are people from the old world versus the new world type thing. So they've never seen white people. White people have never seen Native Americans before, so it's obviously pretty overwhelming for everyone. They stayed at Raleigh's house in London.
Aww.
Just on the Thames.
Just on a fold-out couch that he had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Futon. Just around the corner from an elephant and wheelbarrow or a... What are they? A walkabout hotel.
Hmm. What's that? Jongleurs Comedy Club? The chain of English comedy clubs? So, and Raleigh had language experts decipher the men's Carolina Algonquian... Again, probably mispronounced language. That's the language that they spoke. The language was decoded, which is pretty amazing. And
what?
The two men could now communicate with the English.
What?
Yeah.
They just figured it out.
Yeah.
What
pretty quickly.
Why can't we do that now?
They just decoded it.
What do you mean?
It's not a fucking puzzle.
What do you mean you can decode it? What do you mean?
No, but now, let's say, for example...
I learned Italian for 4 years.
Yeah,
They'd already decoded it. And I couldn't tell you, more than two sentences.
That's not a code.
How do you just figure out what the language is? That's amazing.
I guess a linguistic
expert. It's not like having...
And it's probably not, as conversational as we are being now. It's probably pointing to things and going,
sure.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Sure, sure, sure. But I mean, like, if we had a French person visit us right now, for example, we would get an interpreter who knows that language because they have learnt that language or speak that language anyway, and then they could interpret between. These people have just figured out their language, and now they can all just chat. They just decoded it. Do you know? I don't think that's really interesting.
It is. It's incredible.
What we would do now, though,
is an app.
No, we'd go...
We'd get an app.
We'd go... I'm assuming these people can speak English. Because we're fucking lazy.
Yeah.
Australian assholes who just assume people could. You can speak what I speak. I don't have to do anything here. I'll speak a little slower.
Or louder.
Yeah, slower and louder. That's the way you can cut through. That's how I decode. Yes, please. Over here. Thank you. One drink.
Yeah. Look, mate, I'm going to stand here until you go back into the kitchen and find someone who can speak my language.
I did a few times when I tried to speak like French in France. They'd go, I speak English. It's okay. Please, no more ruining of our language.
This is embarrassing for you, embarrassing for me.
I was always like, how do they know straight away that I speak English? Because, I did Italian at school, so I would... try to speak Italian to Italians, and they would initially answer me with like a hello in Italian, and then they'd go, how can I help? And I was like, damn it! I wanted to trick you into thinking I was one of you.
Oh, I had
but
that.
It's probably because I'm going, buongiorno!
G'day, buongiorno!
Where is this buongiorno I keep hearing so much about?
Come stai?
Sta cosi cosi.
Mi chiamo Jess. E tu...
Mi chiamo Gesso. Rigidage.
How do you say nailed it? But back to England, where they've deciphered their language, or at least part of it. Manteo, one of the Indian tribal leaders, was reportedly fascinated with the Europeans' technology and was keen on learning English. One Cheese, however, the other leader, showed little interest in learning English and did not befriend his hosts, remaining suspicious of the English motives and thought them more as his captors.
Yeah.
So one of them's really keen and fascinated with everything and the other one's a bit more standoffish. I'd probably be in the latter camp, to be honest, if they just chucked me on a boat and taken me 4 months to a place that looks nothing like I'd ever seen before. Raleigh reported the discovery of Roanoke Island to his queen, Queen Elizabeth I, and he was knighted for his efforts. So that's
Which one's Queen Elizabeth again? The redhead?
The Virgin Queen, yes.
Yeah, she's one of the famous ones. Real long reign.
Really long.
Him? Yeah.
Virgin queen.
Yeah, she was...
Even the queen couldn't get a good dickin'.
I've heard that phrase.
Well, you never had a...
Maybe ever.
She never had a...
Good dickin'.
Get a Charles Dickens.
No, when you put it like that, a Charles Dickens. Yeah, I've heard of that. I've heard of that. Good Charles Dickens.
Yeah. Tale of Two Dickies.
I'm sorry.
So never apologise.
Yeah, she was the...
Never apologise.
She was the Virgin Queen.
Okay, well, don't harp on about it. I'm sure she did lots of things.
Oh, no, but that she was very famous for being...
But, you know, don't have to bloody... Don't feel bad for
And her
it.
Father was...
I'm guessing it was by choice, right?
No, yeah, she was just a real uggo.
Well, I mean, sure, we've all seen photos, but... Well,
nobody wanted
you'd to. Probably be a virgin too if your father was Henry VIII and had chopped off two of his wife's heads.
Yeah,
you'd be like, probably not going to bother doing that.
Good point. I'm glad that's where you went, because for a minute I thought you were going to finish that sentence as, you'd probably be a virgin too. I'm like, no.
If you were that uggo.
A redhead? Yuck.
In the 16th century.
I'm a redhead. I'm allowed to say that. If any redheads are at home are getting offended, I was being ironic. We are the most beautiful race.
Wow. Taking that out of context.
The two Native American men were able to describe the politics and geography of the area to Raleigh, who was now convinced a colony could be set up on Roanoke Island, so he organized a second expedition. So that was one of the good things about bringing these... To tribal people, they could tell him about the area, about the other tribes that they fought against, which the dangerous bits, what they ate, that kind of stuff.
She was an ugger.
Oh, she's real ugger.
And like that weird neck she's got, for starters.
Yeah, she's got a frill neck.
She's got a Jacobean ruff.
Oh, no.
She's got a very narrow face.
People looked different back then.
Yeah, and also it's a painting.
Have you looked at her dad? Jesus.
Her dad was Jesus?
Well, her dad liked to think that he was talking to Jesus, and that's why he could split the church and it was fine.
Hey, it doesn't matter how you look, Dave. I just want to make that clear.
Oh, very clear.
I'm not a shallow
okay. man. All I want to say, it doesn't matter how you look, it just matters if you were born into royalty, and therefore you can fuck everyone you want.
Even Uggos can deserve a good Charles Dickens.
Especially Uggos.
Yeah. A pity Charles Dickens.
Nothing better. So he's organised a second expedition to Raleigh. This expedition was about 100 men across 5 ships, and Manteo and Wan Chees were returned to their homes, you'll be pleased to know.
Okay, that's good.
When I started reading about them, I was like, it's not going to end well, but they got to go home. Manteo acted as an interpreter and a guide for the English, and Wan Chees, who didn't like them as much, went back to join his people.
Hmm.
The second colony was intended to be for a military post for men only. But they lacked supplies and arrived at a bad time of year to be able to grow crops. The English started stealing from the Native American tribes, robbing their fish traps. And unlike before, it was no longer a season of the year when they had a surplus of food. It was like a wintry type thing. So they couldn't afford to share with the English anymore. Oh. So tensions started to rise between them.
Oh, no.
Right. So the first time they were thinking, this is just how it is.
Yeah, yeah. They've got heaps of food.
Yeah.
You're cool with it? And then they went back and the tribe are like, no, no, we need that to live.
Yeah, this is to survive.
This is ours. If the first trip spelled good relations for the English and the native folk, that was soon destroyed and hostilities formed between the two groups of people. I can't imagine why. The settlers routinely kidnapped local tribal leaders and held them for ransom, despite relying on these, quote, savages for food and supplies. Isn't that... Hey, you guys know how to survive here, so we'll just capture your leader and you'll give us all the food or we'll kill him.
Yeah, clearly you guys are the savages.
Yeah, I know. It's so stupid.
Because you're not Christian.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it. That makes sense to me.
I get it. Mm-hmm. You're a redhead. You get how Elizabeth the First thought.
You're the best race.
Hmm.
Yeah, as you said before.
And we're a race.
words, mate.
They also blamed one of the Native Americans for stealing one of their valuable silver cups. So retaliated by sacking and burning that man's entire village.
Sacking, similar to Dickon.
They sacked it.
Mm.
Is that where it's like where you when you toilet paper a tree or a house, they just throw sacks all over everything? Because that would be
it's like tea bagging.
Bloody, that would be annoying to clean up.
Yeah, it would.
Mm.
In between all that fire, they said fire to your village. Jesus, the English lived inside a fort that they'd built.
Pillow fort.
Pillow fort, of course. From all the sacks, the surplus sacks.
Mm.
Sack fort. They were attacked by Indian villages that they had ransacked, and they were lucky to hold them off. So now they're sort of basically at war with each other.
Mm.
Soon after the attack, another famous Englishman, Sir Francis Drake, was on his way home from a successful raid around the corner in the Caribbean, and he stopped at the colony and offered to take the colonists back to England, because he saw that they were struggling. Several accepted. These Roanoke colonists introduced tobacco, maize, and potatoes to England.
Oh, that's cool.
There you go. Walter Raleigh is actually credited with popularising tobacco in England.
Okay. Wow.
So
he's less impressive now.
But he brought potatoes to America.
And I fucking love
which ended
potatoes.
Up in Idaho, where the Spuds Club formed.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Matt knows his history. So a few people went home, but the rest are sticking out in the fort.
If you bury a spud, do more spuds grow?
It's a possibility.
Is it like the seed?
It is. It's the root, isn't it? And then it sprouts up from there.
Have you ever left a potato too long in your pantry?
Mm,
you go into it, roots are getting out of it. Yeah. That's it.
So it might not grow more potatoes, but it'll flower. And maybe those flowers become potatoes. Welcome to Agriculture Hour on Do Go On.
Maybe those flowers become potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we ask questions and then we make ourselves look real dumb.
Well, you look it up, Jess. I think you'll find that I nailed it.
I think you find the potato flower is pretty cool thing. But back on the island, the remaining men are running out of food and under constant fear of attack. They decided to abandon the settlement and return to England in the ships that they came on. Which is a bit of a bummer.
They came on the ships.
Yeah, and then they sailed to wash it off. It's a bit of a bummer that they left, because if they'd stayed for two more... It's a bummer that they left, because if they'd stayed for two more weeks, the men would have there was a supply ship coming from England that came 2 weeks later, and it was like, hey, where's all the dudes?
Oh, no. This is a bloody, it's a bloody Burke and Wills, isn't
it? It's a bit of Burke and Wills.
Need to work out a way to communicate, walkie-talkies or something. when the supply ship they'd been waiting for arrived, it found the colony deserted, and wanting to keep the territory for England, they dropped off 15 soldiers to hold the fort, so to speak.
Oh, dear.
And wait for more English people to arrive. So now there's just 15 people on the island.
And a soldiers. New 15. They don't know the lay of the land.
They wanted to wait for more English people to arrive, and arrive they did. The third group of people is now known to history as the Lost Colony of Roanoke.
So what will happen to them?
So this was all preamble. The story starts now.
Oh, geez.
Check your watches, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounded so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God.
In 1587, Raleigh sent a new group of 115 colonists to establish a colony on Chesapeake Bay off the east coast of Virginia, which is north of Roanoke Island, a long way up.
115 people.
115. This time, men were joined by women and children, 17 women and 9 children. So they want to make, it's not just soldiers this time, they actually want to start like a new society. Instead of wages, each settler was deeded a 50-acre plot, thereby giving them a stake in the undertaking.
Huh.
So if it's a success, you'll be a success.
If it's not,
you'll die a horrible, horrible death.
Hooray!
This expedition, the third one, was led by a man named John White.
Oh, boring name.
It's the most boring name ever.
J-O-H-N?
J-O-H-N.
Yeah, boring.
White, W-H-I-T-E. Ugh.
Boring.
He was an artist and a friend of Raleigh who had accompanied the previous expedition to Roanoke. So he'd been there a lot.
What kind of art? Like quite postmodern art deco?
No, like really good watercolours and sketches.
Hmm. Boring.
I'm afraid he did. I'm sorry he didn't create
pop art.
He didn't create art deco 350 years before anyone
else. It's the Campbell cans or nothing for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
High art then?
Yeah.
Campbell. This is referring to the modern art, Dave.
Pop art.
Dildo.
Anyway.
Pop art.
Pop art.
Or literally just the labels on the cans. Still art. I think it's art either way.
Everything's art.
Everything's art.
He'd extensively, this is John White, he's a good artist. He's extensively sketched the landscape and local Native American people. These works are significant as they are the most informative illustrations of a Native American society on the Eastern Seaboard, and now those drawings are in the British Museum.
Well, good for John White.
Because, well, it's kind of like the equivalent of travelling to like a brand new land and taking a photo and coming back, because he's sketched. If you look at him, they're really, really good. Mm. He's a great artist.
Okay.
Pay him that, Jess.
All right.
Pay him.
I'm just saying he's boring.
Sorry.
But sure, he's a good artist.
Boring old John White was appointed governor of the 1587 colony, and of the 115 people, 12 assistants were named to aid in the setting up of the colony.
Hmm. That's a good number of assistants.
Dozen. So, happy with dozen?
I'd go Baker's dozen, to be honest, but that's just me.
On the way to Chesapeake Bay. Remember, that's where they're going
Chesapeake
now.
Bay.
Chesapeake Bay.
Chesapeake. That's me.
Chesapeake, that's me.
That's me.
Hey, everyone, let's let this girl name everything from now on. Imagine that. She's really going to come out with names. Jess, what would you call this boat?
Chesapeake.
She's done it again. They're on the way to Chesapeake Bay. On the way there, they were ordered to stop off at Roanoke Island to pick up the 15 soldiers that were left there the previous year. But when they arrived on July 22nd, 1587, they found the settlement abandoned and in shambles.
Ooh.
The bones of one of the 15 soldiers there before them were the only physical evidence of what had befallen the previous settlers.
Yeah.
How long had passed?
A few months.
Oh.
That's not enough time to rot down to your bones, is it?
Yeah, so I don't think you rotted.
Yeah, if you're out in the open.
Oh, okay. I don't understand.
Just down to bone? No, surely not.
It's been quite a few months.
Oh, yeah, okay. But
out in the open. I guess if vultures are picking away at the at the meat. The meat and potatoes.
They probably are. Oh, God.
Oh, do you think they ate his balls?
Yeah,
I think they ate his balls.
Jess, they're the first to go.
What?
Jess, of course they're
first. They're a delicacy for vultures.
Vultures, they're highly sought after.
They call them the ball bird.
Soldier balls, yeah, they love balls.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would that be the first to go?
Yes.
The balls?
The balls.
What if you were still a bit alive?
That's even no more
good.
Reason.
No good.
Because the balls might be taken away. Get them while you can.
That'd hurt.
Yeah, ideally you get the balls while they're still fresh.
Oh,
yeah.
If the balls start rotten, you don't want them.
Yeah. You don't want rotten balls.
When if the balls are rotten, don't come a knocking.
Yeah. What about the peen?
But the balls are fresh.
Eat them, Jess.
That's what they say.
If your vulture's name is Jess, obviously.
Which I would obviously know the vulture
in that
Jess.
Place, yeah. Yes, they were all...
balls.
So all they found, they found bones of one of 15 men. And remember, these soldiers, they had a fort and cannons and all kinds of stuff, all gone, and they were presumably all dead. So they started freaking out a little bit.
Holy shit.
When they could find no one, the master pilot and a Spanish man who had defected to serve for England, a man named Simon Fernandez.
Okay, I was going to say Simon's not a very Spanish-sounding name.
Probably Simon Fernandez. He refused to let the colonists return to the ships, insisting that they establish a new colony on Roanoke instead of keep going to Chesapeake Bay.
Why?
Fernandez and Governor White did not get along, and basically Fernandez just wouldn't let them get back on the boat.
Oh. How can this one guy not let... How many people? 115?
Yeah.
He's just standing... You know when you stand in a doorway with your arms and you're thinking like, nah, big. What's the password? What's the password, dickhead? Can't get on.
You get three shots.
Can't get on the boat. Fuck off. It's my boat.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to make... Sense.
Well, according to White's journal, Fernandez, his deputy, called to the sailors, charging them not to bring any of the planters back again, the people, but leave them on the island. Faced with what amounted to be a mutiny by his navigator, White appeared to have backed down and let Fernandez have his way and sail off, leaving them there.
What the fuck?
Wait, Fernandez sailed off?
Yeah, so he was, that was his job. He was in charge of the ship.
Right.
But then White's in charge of him, but he didn't listen to White anymore. People have speculated about his motive, this guy Fernandez. Remember, he's Spanish. He apparently claimed that the weather was more appropriate for them to stop at Roanoke and that they had to leave because of an impending hurricane, which I've read reports that's possibly bullshit. White speculates the reason that he may have been prompted by his desire and his crew to return to the West Indies, which is close to North Carolina than where they were going, to pursue opportunities of piracy against the Spanish where they could make more money. So basically he's like, no, you guys stay here and I'll go be a pirate over here and I'll get rich.
Right.
And I don't think White was a very good leader because he let the guy go. So now 115 men, women and children are stuck on Roanoke Island, governed by John White, who had brought his pregnant daughter and her husband along with them. So they're part of the group.
Grandpa White.
Governor White worked to re-establish relations with the Croatoan and other local tribes, the people that they had a lot of trouble with in the past. But the ones that they'd fought previously refused to meet with him, not surprisingly. Shortly thereafter, colonist George Howe, who was part of the group, was killed by a Native American while searching alone for crabs on the beach. So, it's not going well.
No. Look, it's not great.
You're now trapped on an island with people that don't really like you. Because of the broken relations with most of the tribes, the settlers were dependent on supplies for England, and things were not easy for them. So they can't really grow enough food to feed everyone.
Oh, dear.
Governor White's burdens were lightened when his daughter gave birth in August to Virginia Dare, the first English child born in the Americas.
Huh.
Doesn't that increase his burden, not lighten it? Now he's got to look after an extra mouth to feed.
This baby is a tragedy. Whilst the colonists were struggling to survive, it was decided that White would return to England to gather up some much-needed supplies, get a boat, and come back and sort of rescue everyone.
So does he have there was a spare boat?
But like a smaller one?
Right.
So big enough for him and a few people to go home, but they can't get 115 people on board.
The leader. What a great leader. I'm going to leave you all here.
I'll come back.
I'll go. I'll leave my baby granddaughter here.
I'll go. It's fine.
BRB.
Yeah.
Possibly bravely or stupidly, he crossed the Atlantic at a time of year where it was considered a considerable risk. But he made it. He made it home. However, once he got home to England, a war broke out between England and Spain, and every single ship was commandeered by the Navy to attack the powerful Spanish Armada. So this left White with no way to get back to Roanoke. So now he's got to wait till this war finishes so he can get a ship. In the spring of 1588... which is the next year, White managed to acquire two small vessels and sailed back to Roanoke. However, his attempt to return was thwarted when the captains of the ships attempted to capture several Spanish ships on the way there. They thought they could get a bit more cash on the way if they captured these Spanish ships, but they themselves were captured and their cargo seized. So he's got all these supplies locked and loaded to go drop off, and then they roll the dice and lose. So with nothing left to deliver to the colonists, he had to go back to England.
Fuck.
John White, what a battler.
John White is a battler. He wasn't able to get back to Roanoke with supplies for 3 years.
Oh, shit.
3 years.
Guys, I'll be right back.
B-R-B.
B-R-B.
Seriously.
3 years.
6 months max. I got to get back, turn around, come back here. It's just travel time.
It's travel. Sorry, stuck in traffic.
Yeah, admin in the middle. Super easy.
So
no
easy.
Problem.
Just gotta grab a boat, get some gear.
You won't even know I'm gone. It'll fly.
Kick back.
3 years later.
I know, it's crazy. He finally gained passage on a privateering expedition organized by John Watts and Walter Raleigh. They've hitched a ride on a boat that's already going to that area.
Do you know what? It's not so bad that it took him 3 years because he had seven.
Yeah. Guys, I've got ages.
That's real keen. I wouldn't do it in three.
They give everyone seven years to do anything back then. That's how it was.
Why there's that age gap between my brother and I.
Yeah, he had
it was
seven.
Like, you've got to have another one within 7 years and then no more.
Your parents didn't do anything in that 7 year period.
They did nothing. And they listened. They did nothing in that time.
They waited. Well, yeah, I reckon John was like, should we just get the second one done now?
He's
like, we've got seven years. Let's wait till 6 years, 3 months.
Yep.
We'll get it done.
And they did. And then their life actually began.
Yep.
Before that, they were just shells of people.
Yeah. The first one was just a practice run, but then we perfected it 7 years later.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And they were great at naming things. They used to also name everything Jess. And that is how Jess became Jess.
Did you name yourself?
The end.
Yeah.
Call me Jess. Okay.
Alrighty.
So they're on this private ship now. This private ship agreed to stop off at Roanoke on the way back to England after raiding the Spanish in the Caribbean.
Okay.
So they're like, we'll do a bit of plundering, but on the way back, you can stop off and see if your daughter and grandchild are still alive. White landed on August 18th, 1590, his granddaughter's third birthday. But as the party stepped ashore, there was no sign of the colonists.
They had a third birthday party.
Yes!
I totally missed what you just said.
Birthday party. It was as the party arrived.
Oh, right.
Streamers and everything. Third birthday.
You better believe he's wearing a hat.
Oh, yeah.
Which is weird, because they normally would take 7 years to have a third birthday party. We're celebrating your third birthday. They're normally 10, obviously.
There was no sign of the colonists or the settlement.
Oh, no.
His men could not find any trace of the 90 men, 17 women, and 10 children left behind. Crazy.
Okay.
Their houses? No,
haunted.
Just... He'd only just left
trap
them.
Doors. Trap doors.
3 odd years ago. Trap doors.
I'm going with theories tunnels. Early.
I reckon tunnels under the tunnels. Island.
Yeah. Mole people.
Mole people.
Mole man.
Well, Jess, I really hate when you jump ahead to my conclusion, which was going to be, in conclusion, mole people. Thank you. Goodbye. But you ruined it. Now I have to go... Can't even go through these facts that I've got here. All the boring evidence of what really happened.
In conclusion, mole people.
That's always the reason for everything.
Jess, why haven't you done your homework? Mole people.
I think you know.
You just point to a badge that says it a was badger. The mole people. He points to a badger like that, but a mole.
We didn't have a mole here. They're all with my homework. There's a badger, which gives you the idea.
So the people aren't there. Their houses and fortifications had been taken down. Not burned, not destroyed, indicating that they did not leave in a hurry. So, like, packed down.
Right.
Like, they've got the Allen key out. They've dismantled the IKEA furniture. Right. It's all gone.
Okay.
The only sign that they had even been there was a section of large wooden fence that would have been the perimeter of the camp. That remained. And the word Croatoan was carved into the wood. And crow was carved into a tree. Like someone was... carving it again, the message.
So spooky.
Croatoan.
Like they didn't get through it the second time, you mean? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, or maybe they decided...
It
oh, maybe
said crow, dot, dot, dot.
Maybe they weren't...
Yeah, you get it.
Crow, etc.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'd done the second one on the tree and been like, oh, yeah, they don't need this. Or that was the first one. The fence, that's better.
Yeah.
I said do it on the fence. What are you doing? The tree could grow back. He won't be back for 7 years. But Croatoan is the name of a nearby island.
Oh.
Croatoan.
That's a pretty clear clue.
Yeah. Good clue.
Very good clue.
White was very surprised because the colonists had all agreed that if they were ever in trouble or if they were forced to leave, that they would carve the symbol of a Maltese cross into wood.
What's a Maltese cross look like?
Well, just a cross, but a little bit flamboyant.
Or Maltese. The Maltese are flamboyant people.
A little bit flamboyant.
It's like a Maltese cross shih tzu.
You know?
I got a Maltese cross shih tzu. You know what I'm talking about.
A dog. They carve a dog into the tree. That was the symbol. Not even specifying what it's crossed with. That was just their way out of having to draw an accurate Maltese. It doesn't quite look like a Maltese. Oh, it's a Maltese cross.
It's cross. It's a bit of a mutt. I also love that, like, they're like you, Jess. Like, everyone, all right, it's agreed. If we leave in panic, we'll do a Maltese cross. It gets to the day they're panicking and no one knows what's a Maltese cross look like. I don't know.
But like,
if I assumed you knew.
Yeah, if you say draw a cross in the tree, I'd draw a cross.
Yeah.
But then you got like a Christian cross or an X marks a spot cross. What's a Maltese cross?
This is a Maltese cross. I've just Google imaged it.
Ah, I see. I get it.
It kind of looks like a four-leaf clover.
It does a
clover.
Bit. Yeah.
It's a good-looking cross.
Yeah.
It's a
good I enjoyed that a lot.
Okay, so that's a pretty fucking big clue to me, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Croatoan. That's the name of an island. They must have gone there.
Yes.
Oh, no.
White wanted to explore Croatoan Island to look for the settlers, but low on provisions, the loss of sea anchors in a storm, impending bad weather, and privateers' general impatience and wanting to go home prevented them from stopping there. So he went, oh, let's just go over there and look, and they were like, we've got to go. Oh. No one went. They didn't go.
What the fuck?
They didn't look for him.
How would they have gotten there? They didn't have a boat, right?
Oh, they would have had smaller boats. So it would have taken probably several trips back and forth.
Right.
That's a possibility.
Like that.
But you'd go and look, right? Wouldn't you?
You'd go and look.
There's 120 of you people there.
They had... The tricky thing was that they had a fox, a chicken...
What's the other one?
And eggs or something like that. And they had to...
Yeah, they had one boat. And you can't leave the fox alone with the chicken.
Obviously.
Do you know that puzzle, Jess?
No.
I was going to say, it sounds really weird if you don't know, and Jess didn't. It's this... Oh, don't worry about it, Jess. You won't get it.
I think I do.
It's a maths problem.
No, I won't.
You would hate it.
I won't get it.
It's one of those tedious things.
I'm a big dumb. So what, you can only take one thing?
Well, I think the thing is like, you can only fit one thing in the boat at a time. You can't leave the hen on shore with the fox because the fox will eat the hen. And you can't leave the hen on shore with the hay because the hen will eat the hay. So it's like this complicated thing where you take the fox. What a fucking hen's eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what the third thing was. Definitely a hen and a fox. And also a 1995 Game Boy.
And you can't leave a fox alone with a Game Boy. It'll fuck it.
Yep. Yes. You're going
to... It'll delete all your saved levels.
Yeah. Trade all your good Pokemon.
Right, yeah. It'll delete all your good Pokemon. Don't set it free. It's level 94. So they didn't go. 12 years went by.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Before Riley, who's in charge of all this shit, decided to find out what had happened to his lost colony.
Including his granddaughter?
No, Walter
White. No, that was Walter White. Yeah, Walter White, not Walter
John
White.
White.
John White.
Johnny White, the artist. The bad governor.
Yeah.
Because twice now people have said, no, we don't want to do that. And he's gone, okay. Like, hey, we want to leave you here, possibly to die. Okay. We're not going to go 5 miles over there to see if your family's still alive.
A bit meek.
Okay. That's all
just
good.
A little meek.
Poor old Johnny.
The meek
White.
Will inherit the earth, though. Remember that.
How? How?
They're so meek.
You gotta fucking grab it. Use your hands, John. Stop drawing. Pick up an axe.
You Maltese Shih Tzu.
Yeah, you fucking Maltese Shih Tzu.
Oh, that's something that Dave hasn't mentioned. It was a... John White is a small dog.
Yeah. That's why when people said to him, stay. We're going to leave you here. Stay. Okay.
Roll over. He rolled over and he just let him do whatever they wanted.
He's a very obedient dog.
Very good boy.
He loved a good scratch behind the ear and he'll do whatever you want. So 12 years later, Walter Riley, he wants to find out what's going on. Led by Samuel Mace, this expedition differed from previous voyages in that Raleigh bought his own ship and guaranteed the sailors wages so they would not be distracted by privateering or piracy. Because what's happened is, a few times they've tried to organise people to go back, but every time they get distracted by piracy on the way. Which is so...
That's so good. Like, they literally see something shiny and they get
they go, ooh, gold!
That meme that's been overdone over the last few months, the distracted man.
Oh, yeah.
It's piracy, is that lady. Look, a spoken meme is never going to go particularly well.
Matt, I want you to try and post that meme later this week.
I will do my best.
But, however, Riley still hoped to make money from the trip, and Mace's ship first landed in the Outer Banks to gather some rare wood so that they could sell back in England. So by the time they... could turn their attention to the colonists, the weather had again turned bad and they were forced to return without ever making it to Roanoke. Yeah. So they still got distracted by piracy.
This mystery is starting to sound less like a mystery and more like there was so long that these guys all died of old age.
Yeah.
There's no mystery.
Maybe.
Maybe.
In 1603, Queen Elizabeth I died and so did Raleigh's favour with the monarchy. He was arrested for allegedly trying to get rid of the new king, King James I.
The Scottish king.
The Scottish
James
king.
James Stewart, my grandpappy.
Your grandpappy. So, what Raleigh, possibly or possibly not, was plotting against to get rid of him. Because it's difficult for Elizabeth to have an heir when she's a virgin.
For God's sake. What will you harp on about?
All she had was heir. It's almost something. She didn't have any babies. She had heir. All she let out of her... self was air, no babies.
All right.
She had an air. And you know, it feels like it's almost something, doesn't it? so close to being very good.
Do you want me to give you
but
five?
But not quite, meaning it's nothing. Just air.
I'll give you 5 minutes to come back with a great quip.
Quip.
So, Raleigh's arrested for plotting against the new king.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I said he went to jail before?
Yeah.
This time he goes to the Tower of London for 13 years.
Oh my God.
Not a nice place to be.
No. The queues are very bad there. Have you been there, the Tower of London?
Oh, the tiny little window.
Ugh, it's the worst. I walk past it, to be honest.
On the way to the pub.
It costs a lot of money. Yeah. If I went in, it's about £40 or something to do a tour.
Yeah, too much.
That's too much.
It's too much.
I can think of much better things you could spend £40 on.
Yeah.
£40 worth of M&M's at M&M World.
Or, you know, there's plenty of pound pint nights.
Yeah.
When I was there 10 years ago.
40 pubs.
A pound for one pint.
Yeah, a pound pint.
That's incredible.
That's ridiculous, isn't it? Thinking about it now. It's like $2.50 for a pint.
No, it's like $1.80 or something, isn't it? It's even...
Pound.
Anyway, I mean, it's probably all relative, isn't it?
Hey, depending on when you were there.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in 1904, when the pound was, you know... Inflation's gone up a lot since Matt was a child.
That's true. When I was drinking pints in England as a young boy.
As a young lad, a young pup. So Walter Raleigh's now in the Tower of London. He's no longer able to go and look for his colony. Because his life's gone to shit.
Great excuse.
There was one final expedition in 1603, led by Bartholomew Gilbert, with the intention of finding Roanoke colonists. So this is now 16 years later. Or 15 years later. Their intended destination was Chesapeake Bay again, but bad weather forced them to land in an unspecified location near there. The landing team, including Gilbert himself, was killed by a group of Native Americans for unknown reason. The remaining crew were forced to return to England empty-handed. So again, no one's actually got there. So what happened to them? What happened to these people?
Oh, we already...
Mole people.
White, the Shih Tzu,
mm-hmm.
the small dog, in his... memoirs,
mm-hmm.
he was of the opinion that the group had moved inland, then into the forests of
like moles would do, buried yes. inland,
into the forests burrows. Of North Carolina. Yeah,
they've gone. They've burrowed inland.
If I understand what inland means.
40 metres into the soil, into the forests of North Carolina, but that's his opinion, but there's no archaeological evidence to back that up, so I don't know about that. The English set up their first successful settlement in Jamestown, Virginia, in 1607, 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first, that's sort
Jamestown,
of...
Jamestown, I guess, after King James, you'd think?
Yep.
But in...
Well, I mean, it definitely makes sense,
the guy who said that his theory was they moved inland and lived happily ever after, he was one of the guys who would be trying to probably offset his guilt.
He's the one who left them there.
Repeatedly abandoned them.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, no, they lived a great life inland.
They're fine.
Yeah, loved it.
Yeah. They're rich and...
Sea views. That's lovely.
They're nothing but sea views.
Oh, the cafe culture.
Real good. Avocado.
Oh, the lattes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the Jamestown people, this is the famous settlement, they were wondering what happened to their, you know, possible friends and relatives at Roanoke. So the new Jamestown settlers questioned local natives if they knew anything about the Roanoke colony. Some of these Native Americans told tales of white settlement further down the coast with two-story thatched roof houses, which is a style unique only to English people.
Hmm.
Native Americans told of nearby tribes who could read English and dress similarly to Europeans. One of the Jamestown settlers alleged that they once saw a boy dressed as an American Indian, but he was fair-skinned and blonde. So this could mean two things, two theories here. One is that the Roanoke colony assimilated, possibly just to survive, with the tribes that they'd been friendly with, which makes sense. They're struggling to survive.
Yeah.
These people know how to catch food, that kind of thing.
Let's work together.
Yeah, and some of them were friendly. The other theory is that one or more of the hostile tribes that attacked the colony and presumably killed all the men, and possibly what they would do in that situation is sell the women and children into slavery. So that could have happened. And then they may have assimilated from there.
That's less nice. Mm.
It is less of the... Yeah, the Shih Tzu is going, I like option A.
Yeah.
Can we put that in the paper?
They're all friends.
Any chance? Yeah, we just go, let's all get together.
Everyone's very happy. Getting a good
double
Dickens.
Double story. Double story Dickens.
Double story Dickens. That's a big Dickens. If the groups had come together over the course of generations, the settlers and the Native Americans, intermarriage between the Native Americans and English settlers could have produced a third distinct group. This group, some people claim, and even the people themselves, may be the Lumbee tribe, which is a tribe of Native Americans native to North Carolina, where their origin is not known. So even some of the modern-day Lumbee people say that their ancestry is part of the Roanoke colony.
Right.
And I have read that people have, are attempting to do DNA testing to see if they have European blood, but no word on that yet. So that's a possibility. And there's no, and if that is the truth, it would be hard to tell whether, you know, if they were captured or if they'd assimilated or if some people got were friendly and other people went to this other island. But anyway,
you can't figure out whether or not it was friendly or not via DNA.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's difficult to.
Gee, science has got a long way to go, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah, disappointing.
I'm so disappointed. That in
is
science.
Disappointing.
Come on, science.
Come on, science.
You dickhead.
Yeah. Maybe science needs a good dickin'.
Look at us being a team again.
We're on. Yeah. It took a common enemy, science.
Science. Science is a big science is a big dog. It needs two people to take it down.
This is nice. I'm glad science, although it's the worst.
Yeah, obviously.
The benefit of it being that it's brought us
together.
Together, which is nice.
Yeah, fuck science.
Fuck science.
Yeah. Together.
No, what are we going to fuck science together?
You're going to give science a big dickin'.
Together.
Friendship.
Another possible explanation for the colonists' disappearance is that they were attacked by the Spanish, who had settlements south of them in Florida. One Roanoke settler named Darby Gland.
Gland.
I thought you were going to go with Darby. That's a great first name.
Oh, I love
name.
Darby.
Darby.
But Gland.
Gland with an E. Glandy.
Don't like that.
I really thought Jess was going to take to Darby, but she
I
hasn't.
I like Darby.
Yeah.
But right. Gland.
His
we,
family.
Can we
no,
rename
good.
Him Darby Darby?
Darby Gland. That's not bad. I'm coming around to it. Gland. Just call him Darby. Anyway.
Gland is not a good
Gland
name.
Is not good.
Not good.
So this guy, Darby Gland, he left the 1587 expedition, which is the second one, once it's on the way there in Puerto Rico to get supplies. So they stopped in Puerto Rico to get some supplies, and he got off. The Spanish people there, he later reported that he told the Spanish officials that they were going to Roanoke, so the Spanish people knew that they were there.
Oh.
So possibly that may explain why everything was down, was taken down, not destroyed. So the Spanish went there, overpowered them, killed all the people, and then just took down their houses because obviously once the English arrive, they see no houses. They go, oh, let's not bother setting up here again.
And they can also just take all their stuff
yeah,
and use it again.
Loot it, raid it, that kind of stuff, which everyone's into yeah, during this golden age of piracy. One of the things that makes it very difficult to, and this is a bit sciencey,
for worse.
It's difficult to say what happened.
Jess.
It's out.
It's been out for hours. It's difficult to say what happened at Roanoke because there is no modern archaeological evidence to examine. This is probably because over 400 years, the island's shoreline has eroded up to a quarter of a mile, meaning that where the camp once stood is probably underwater now.
That's a shit excuse, science. Figure it out.
Fuck you,
get
science.
Get a submarine, you dickheads. Yeah. Figure it out, science.
Science isn't about questioning things. It's about blindly giving answers.
Fucking hell. Science.
This is the final piece of the story I'll tell you. The most famous piece of possible archaeological evidence of what happened to the colony are referred to as the Dare Stones.
From the Dare Gallery.
Which is a furniture shop like, in Melbourne.
Like
do you mean like ornamental stones, like decorative stones?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I do.
These would make a great conversation piece on the dining room table.
Oh, you don't sit on it. You look at it. Shout out to all the fans of Dare Gallery. They advertise here. They're trying to be like rich and European and wanky.
Yeah, pretty low budget ads.
Oh, awful ads.
Awful ads.
I should have gone for Dare Iced Coffee.
Which is one of the Saints' major sponsors.
Oh, fucking hell. Anyway, tell us about the Dare Stones.
In 1937.
They had dares on them.
I dare you to start a colony and not die. Challenge accepted.
Double dare.
The other side had truths. And you had to flip it. Flip the stone. If you got
That's
the truth.
A fun game.
It's a fun game.
I wish I'd said truth. 1937, a Californian tourist named Louis Hammond.
Great name.
I knew you'd love that one.
That is a good name.
Gland. Oh, no, Louis Hammond turned up at Emory University in Atlanta Atlanta, Georgia, saying that he found the these stones on a newly opened stretch of Highway 17 near Edenton, North Carolina, whilst hunting for hickory nuts. Probably a little too much story.
Was he a vulture? Yeah.
He's looking for hickory nuts. He finds
He's hunting for them. You don't hunt for nuts.
He's got a
unless you're a vulture.
Yeah.
They fucking hunt
they
for nuts.
They hunt the nuts.
He's got a shotgun. He's shooting at nuts. I got it.
Just go picking.
I've never heard of hickory nuts. Is it possible that they're like some sort of a mammal?
They're really violent.
Hickory nuts.
Anyway, he found a stone and he went all the way to Atlanta, Georgia, which is south of this area. On the stone that he found was a message, supposedly inscribed by Eleanor White Dare, who was the daughter of John White and the mother of Virginia Dare, the first child of English descent to be born there. Mm-hmm. It stated on one side that Eleanor's husband and daughter were dead and asked the finder to communicate this with their father. On the other side, it explained that all but seven of the colonists had been killed by American Indians, and then it was signed EWD, Eleanor White Dare. The stone was examined by Dr. Hayward Jefferson Pierce Jr.
Fuck yes!
That's such a long name! Who was a professor of American history, and he thought it was authentic.
Mm-mm, disagree.
Pierce also
mole
knew...
people.
Yep. Yeah. Mole people forged it.
To throw us off the scent. The moly, moly scent. Pierce also knew he needed some more evidence to confirm the authenticity of the stone. And on the original stone, it alluded to a second stone that was part of a series.
Oh, it said PTO.
PTO. Where's the...
Oh, it just says 1-2. Yeah. Like one of two.
One of two stones. I think that... Fuck, this is great, Dave. Is this actually a mystery, or do you have the answer on this second stone?
Well, he wants to see the second stone, right? So he offered a $500 reward if anyone could find the second stone.
And then $500.
$500.
Is this a long, long time ago?
1930s.
I'm not interrupting my hickory nut hunting.
It's probably like it's the equivalent of like $5,000 or something.
I'm still not interrupting.
Jess doesn't get out of bed.
That's a big guess. Sorry, not everyone drives a Ferrari
that
like
Jessica.
That was
the end of the sentence. Jess doesn't get out of bed.
I don't. I'm stuck. Help me.
We have wheeled you in on a single trundle bed.
It's comfy. I like it.
I don't know why we didn't mention it before, but Jess has broken every limb.
Oh, don't jinx me.
That's going to happen on the way home.
Oh,
he's trying
Dave,
to, trying to knock wood.
Stop.
You're not going to break every limb on the way home from this recording.
Dave, stop it. Come on. If I have a car accident, you're going to feel so bad.
Oh, well, I probably would anyway. Especially if I caused it. If I was ramming you. I'm ramming into the back of your car. Are your legs broken yet, Jess? I've had a beer. So he's offered $500. A sizable sum.
I've just got my hand on the wood panel on the wall now. I'm
That's
really
smart. That's safe.
Enter.
Oh no.
Enter a local stone cutter named Bill Eberhardt, who claimed that he had found the second stone. But not just that. By 1940, Bill had found 40 more stones.
Okay, Bill.
Bill's got his stone writing pen out. I think
these stones were found 300 miles south of the other one in South Carolina. So somehow one stone's ended up here. 40 other stones have ended up three
of them.
You
know what stones are like.
And they've been discovered by a dude who has the ability to carve things into stone. I'm a little bit suspicious. But he's gone, $500 for one stone. I've got 40. I'm fucking rich.
Fuck, Bill. Too much, mate.
On these stones, it told a complicated tale of the fate.
Choose your own adventure story. Turn to stone 43. If you want to see this child alive.
John Pierce, he handed in every stone except stone 43. So John Pierce is like, fuck, all right, I'll give you another $500 if you can find stone 43. The stones told the complicated tale of the fate of the lost colony. The stones were addressed to John White and called for revenge against the, quote, savages, and told Eleanor's father the direction taken by the survivors. So it had all this crazy, crazy stuff. Indicating that she'd remarried and that she'd married the king of a local tribe and all these sort of, you know, sort of far out things. And a stone dated 1599 and announced Eleanor Dare's death and said that she'd left behind a daughter named Agnes.
Agnes.
Ugh.
That's a beautiful name.
In 1941, which is the year after these were discovered, a journalist wrote of the stones being forgeries, and debate has raged on ever since. Now, I will say that nearly everyone agrees that the ones found by Bill, who ended up getting $2,000 for his troubles.
Wow.
It's only four stones.
To be fair, everyone... Yeah. He wanted 10 times. He wanted $20,000.
Did you see how fast I did that math?
That was real fast.
Thank you so much.
That was really good.
Thank you. I'm getting better.
Do you?
I have a tutor.
Oh, good.
I'm learning math.
Wow.
Nearly everyone agrees the ones found by Bill are absolute bullshit.
They're bullshit.
There's a couple of people have written books about it and stuff. Of course, they want you to believe it, so you buy the book. But
they're bullshit.
Most people think, they point to Bill and they say, bullshit. This guy is bullshit. That's what happens, bullshit. Oh, bullshit over here found 40 stones. But the original stone, which I will say also looks a little bit different to the others, because this is what happened with Bill's stones. The original one looks...
Bill's are just kidney stones too, by the way.
Bloody hell.
He wrote on some kidney stones.
They are microscopic. It's like when people write on a grain of rice. Guys, I found 40 grains of rice. Can I have $20,000? Now, what happened with Bill was... the original stone looks really old and stuff. Bill's stones, apparently, when you pick them up, they started to crumble a little bit. And people are like, how have they lasted 400 years, but now I pick them up and they crumble? Bill.
Right.
What the fuck, Bill? But the original one, there is still serious debate amongst scholars whether that one is real.
Mm.
So the original stone. So maybe they did survive, maybe.
But why would you write it on stone?
Mm.
Like,
well, because it lasts.
Just send an email.
Yeah.
Oh.
I would have thought email would have made more sense.
A notebook. You're not restricted.
Yeah, put it up into the cloud.
Put it in the cloud.
If you want it to last forever, put it
on
the cloud.
Facebook.
Yeah.
That's timeless.
Yeah, they own it if you put it up there as well.
I'd bloody tell you what they're like.
Yeah. Well, maybe she wanted
to. You ever read the fine print?
She wanted to retain the copyright on her stone.
Oh, that makes sense.
She's a true artist.
Though she has long since died, so the copyright is definitely gone.
She's a purist.
Mark Zuckerberg still owns it.
That is the...
Somehow.
But that is the story. I'm afraid that there is no conclusion to this.
Dave, have you not been listening to Jess? Listening to her or listening to her? She told you about half an hour ago.
I have been listening to her, but please... Yeah. What did she tell me half an hour ago?
It's the mole people.
Oh, pardon me.
Problem solved.
Sorry,
Let's go dig up the island now, I guarantee.
You find we'll some find moles.
Yeah. Tunnels, moles...
A whole underground city. It's like Atlantis, but in land.
Atlantis. Yay.
We did it.
Do you either of you watch American Horror Story?
No.
Show?
No, I'm the wuss.
Oh, me too. I'm also too scared to watch it.
Is it actually, it's a horror story.
It's called American Horror Story. And every season.
I don't think, for some reason, I didn't think it was an actual horror. That's a horror story. That makes sense.
God, you're dumb.
Yes, I know. That's what I've been trying to tell you.
You need a tutor.
Were you watching it as a family sitcom?
Yeah.
Where's the canned laughter?
I've been laughing me ass off. And all them people die, I assume. Very good stuff.
Well, if you don't know how the show works, I think every season is a different setting. And the
same actors?
Yes, or similar actors a lot of the time.
So it's, then they just reset and play different characters.
Yeah, different time periods. And the sixth series was called American Horror Story, Roanoke.
Oh. What?
And the best description I could find was, a couple moved to North Carolina, and during their stay at a house, the family has a terrifying experience because their house is on the land where the Roanoke colony moved after the famous disappearance.
Oh.
And there's sort of references to this story. So maybe...
I want
to
watch that.
But it's really scary.
Yeah, I'm not watching
it. My housemate used to watch it, and I'd have to go to my room.
Wouldn't that be scarier being by yourself in your room?
I don't want to see it. No.
No, but I was watching My Little Pony, so it was fun. It was great. Anyway, thank you for everyone who suggested that topic. Hopefully, I covered all the right things there, because there's a lot of hearsay about what could have happened to them.
Matt, do you have any theories?
Yeah. It's the mole people.
Thank you.
We all agree.
Oh, sorry. That's not a theory. That's a...
Just a conclusion.
Just a conclusion.
An accurate conclusion.
Sorry about all that pretense at the start, pretending it was a mystery. I know it's been solved several minutes ago.
We should tell people.
We definitely should.
Yeah, we should find a way to let them know.
We're trying.
Hello?
Is this thing on? How do I hit record? Imagine if we hadn't hit record. We've been here a while. But thanks so much for listening, everyone. Before you go, we would like to tell you about how you can support the show. One of the ways is to give us a sweet review on iTunes, or tell a friend, or how about this? Tweet about the show. Or Instagram or Facebook about the show. That gets the message out there and we get more listeners every night. Well, not every now and then. Every week we get people saying, hey, just discover the show. So that's really, really nice.
Mm.
And I guess it's because people are sharing it. And the other way is to support the show via our Patreon page at patreon.com/dogo...
Slash.
I was like, I'll swallow before I make this announcement. I did not swallow. Slash do go on pod. And over there you can find sweet little extra things that you can get if you pledge to the show, including a bonus episode once a month. And we will also give you a live shout out at the end of an episode. And we would like to thank two people each now. Jess, I'm going to let you start this thing.
Thank you, Dave. That's an absolute honour. I would like to thank all the way from Southport a gentleman who has supported the show for a while now. I would like to thank James Henderson.
Hendo.
From the Henderson Kids, yeah, which was an 80s Australian TV show starring Kylie Minogue.
Yeah, and James Henderson.
And where's Hendo?
And James Henderson.
Where's Hendo from?
Southport.
So this week, we've started giving people a thing each week, right, that's somehow related to the episode.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
What kind of mole person
would James be?
Yeah.
I reckon he'd be blind.
Okay, that's good.
I think most moles are.
Yeah, that's very sensitive to light.
Yeah. That...
Good senses of smell. But what about James Henderson in particular?
Like, what would his role be in a
mole? Yeah, in a mole society,
people?
Yeah.
I think James works at the mole radio station.
Yeah.
Oh,
don't you reckon?
I reckon he does,
mole
too.
Mole in the morning.
Mole in the morning.
Good moling to you.
He's on the moling show.
Oh.
Yeah, he's quite popular. He's on mole billboards and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's doing really well.
Which is what...
But he's
sorry,
humble.
If people at home don't know what that is, in mole society, what you might call a billboard, mm-hmm. they call mole billboards.
Yeah. Of course, that makes sense. Oh.
Yeah. So basically anything that we have here on Earth, above ground...
Above the ground, not inland.
Not inland. They have... But they put a mole ahead of it.
It's the kind of thing that's going to take a little bit of getting used to.
Yeah,
but once you get your head around it, it's pretty straightforward.
It's an advanced society.
Yep.
I'd also like to thank another person as well, also from the UK, and that is Mole Nate Peterson.
Wow, his name is Mole.
And
how fortunate.
Nah, it's been silly. Nate Peterson, I think Nate works at a... laser clinic that removes moles.
Oh, wow.
That makes sense.
From moles.
Oh, from moles. He doesn't take people out. He doesn't kill
like
mole people.
Like, pew, pew.
So he's
no.
He removes moles from society.
So he's not some sort of executioner / assassin.
No, it's more like moles that, that looks a little suspicious. Maybe
right.
A bit of...
Wow.
Have you noticed any sort of change in colour or shape?
Yeah. He removes the mole.
That super exciting job just became really, really menial. Pretty
gross. But he still goes about it like an assassin would.
Right, yeah.
But people don't know. He comes by when they're like bathing at the beach and he shoots the moles off their back.
Pew, pew. Oh, uninvited.
I also know this about Nate because I talked to him a bit on Twitter. He also does mole food reviews on YouTube.
Right.
So you should check out his mole.
What do moles eat?
Yeah, everything. That's the funny thing. They'll eat mole spaghetti.
Mole spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one you say? Paschetti. How do I fuck that up? Nate Peterson, what a guy. Like his work.
Thank you, Nate.
Can I thank some people?
Please.
How do I always land with the hardest names to pronounce?
Yeah, it's almost like Dave and I do that on purpose.
This week I may have definitely done that.
All right. Well, that makes sense then. I'd love to thank Ignacio Segiova.
Ignacio.
No, that's all right. Segovia. Ignacio Segovia from Buenos Aires.
Oh, Ignacio, thank you so much.
Capital of Argentina, is that right, Dave?
That's correct.
And he's also the president of Mole Argentina.
Wow.
Yeah, he is.
Wow.
And he listens.
Yeah, he does.
Good heavens, aren't we blessed?
We are. We are blessed.
What just happened?
I was going to say hashtag blessed and I felt so bad about it that I...
Yeah. Don't worry, I'll get out of this with some sweet, heavy breathing.
I was glitching on it.
Guys, I don't think anyone noticed. I saved the day. Hello, Ignacio. Hola, Ignacio.
Buenos Aires. I don't know, is there a nicer sounding city in the world than Buenos Aires? I'm not saying it quite right, probably. How would you say
Adelaide.
Adelaide, sorry, I'm pronouncing it quite differently to that. Dave, how would you say it?
Hola.
Heavy breathing.
Vives en Buenos Aires.
I would also like to thank Erich Eisenmenger. That can't be right. It's possibly Eric. Eric Eisenmenger.
When do I tell Matt that I actually create fake credit cards and sign up to the Patreon with fake names?
Eric, I reckon it's Eric Eisenmenger. And he's from Alberta, Canada, which is, I've never been to Canada, but Canada, like, Alberta's got some of the places that I most want to go after Gary, Indiana, obviously. Mm-hmm. If you ever see those photos of Canada, it's just like the icy blue lakes with the ice cap mountains behind and a moose.
Yeah, yep. There's always a moose.
A moose in the
corner. How do they get the moose right in the perfect position?
I want to be there. Okay. I really want to be there with Eric or Erich. Who, in the Mole Society, he's actually a tabletop dancer.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
A mole tabletop dancer.
Yeah, a mole tabletop mole dancer.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Which is hard because it's so packed in with dirt under there.
Yeah.
That the table, like the legs are in dirt, the tabletop's in dirt, so he has to sort of like dig out enough space to dance.
Mm-hmm.
But he does. That's all part of his job. That's why he gets paid so well.
Mm-hmm.
That's passion.
It's passion.
You gotta love your work.
I would like to thank from Bunbury.
Ah, oh, Bunbury in WA?
I believe so.
That's a place that has a song written about it by Frenzel Rom. Sorry, Mole Frenzel Mole Rom.
Thank you.
I would like to thank Fraser Laurie.
Fraser
Laurie. That's
what does Fraser do?
He's a librarian.
A mole librarian.
Come
on, mate.
Who specializes in dirt.
Yeah, moles can't see. So what do their libraries keep? Oh, dirt. You already said dirt. That. Yeah, great.
Yeah.
A dirt library.
He categorizes different types of dirt.
Braille, Matt.
Fraser Laurie, thank you so much for your support.
Fucking yes, of course.
Our mole librarian.
Audiobooks. Yeah. There are other ways.
Well, look, we've all now said something dumb on this podcast
today.
Can't
remember me saying something dumb.
Oh, no, that was me three times.
I'd also like to thank all the way from Georgia, which is the state below South Carolina. Which is
not
the state
that we like to rank things,
which
but
is the state below North Carolina. Top three states there, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia. I would like to thank Sean Harris. Oh, actually, that's Cantersville in Georgia is where I thought his name was Sean Harris Cantersville, but I've written down Sean Harris from Cantersville in Georgia, and Sean Harris plays for the Mole soccer team.
Really?
He is the Mole keeper. Huh?
A high five for that one. That's very good.
Been sitting on that for about 35 seconds.
I thought my removing moles one was quite funny.
That was good.
Yeah. God, we have fun, don't we?
We do have fun,
and we have fun because of people like Sean Harris from Cantersville, Georgia. Thank you so much, Sean.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, everyone, for supporting the show. And thanks to you two.
Was that two from you, Dave?
Yeah,
Fraser Laurie from Bunbury, our mole librarian.
And Sean.
Sean, our molly.
Molly.
Molly, 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 molly.
That was so funny at the time.
Yeah, now you're like, ugh. Yeah.
What I didn't tell you guys about Nate, after doing his day job and then reviewing food at night, when he doesn't, in between jobs, he goes on the mole.
Oh, the regret. The instant regret.
I know, we've all
you
done
guys, You guys have both done a pun. I thought I should,
but which in
I should hate
society,
myself too.
In mole society, that's actually like The Bachelor.
Very highly regarded. Yes, that's right.
The mole.
The mole. He's on the mole.
He's the mole.
Yep.
Anyway.
Which is... Yep, okay.
We gotta go.
And thanks so much. We've had a few people message us recently after Dave asked people to pass the word on around the podcast, and it was so cool. People have said that they've just heard about it because of a friend, and that is so nice.
That's lovely.
Yes, it really, really makes us feel good, and it helps the show to grow and become molier than thou.
Oh my God.
Like the Metallica song.
Yeah, molier than thou. But yeah, so spread the word. Have a great week, and we'll be back next time with another show. Until then, I will say goodbye.
Sorry about the mole stuff.
Bye.
Laters.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.